Hi, everyone. I'm Amelia. I'm 13 years old. I have an amazing life story. A homeless man adopted me. I can't wait for the day I get to call him dad. You might wonder how that's even possible. Once you hear my story, I'm sure you'll find it amazing, too. I never knew my real dad, and my mom passed away when I was 8. I'm not going to say anything else about my real parents because talking about them makes me really sad. So yes, I became an orphan when I was little. I didn't have any relatives that could take me in, so I was sent to live in an orphanage. People don't think of orphanages as nice places, but the other kids there and I were happy most of the time. Imagine a bunch of kids living together. We'd play all the time. The orphanage had a school, so we studied together too. Perhaps we all got along because we were all there for the same reason. Most of the people working there who took care of us were good to us, too. Our lives at the orphanage were pretty good, but most kids still wanted to be adopted. We dreamed about it. Imagine, a family comes, meets with some of the kids, and then picks one that would go to live with them. Only 4 or 5 kids would get lucky each month. We'd all get jealous of the ones who got adopted. You know what was the main reason for our jealousy? Because they'd get to call 2 people mom and dad. You'd have to live in an orphanage to understand how much we missed those words. I became one of the kids that was envied when I was 12. I was adopted not by a family, but a single woman. She was a retired judge. I couldn't sleep for a week when I learned that she picked me. I'd dream about the moment I'd call her mom for the first time. Parents would come to pick up their new kids on Sundays. I said bye to my friends and everyone at the orphanage after breakfast. My new mom came an hour later. As I was leaving, I thought this was the happiest day of my life, but my excitement didn't last long. Her name was Harriet. In our first conversation at home, she said, "You'll call me Miss Harriet. I go to bed late and I wake up late. I want my breakfast ready when I'm up." I quickly realized that she didn't want a child, but a servant that she could train from a young age. She didn't enroll me in a school, which is against the adoption requirements. I wasn't allowed to leave the house, so I couldn't report her. I swear I'm not exaggerating, but she was just like the stepmother in Cinderella. I spent my days working for her nonstop. She was never satisfied with anything I did. She'd scream at me every chance she got. I really missed the orphanage. At night, I'd cry under the covers. After 7 to 8 months, I resigned myself to my new life. I knew I didn't belong in that house, but I was too young to think about escaping. I had noticed that Miss Harriet always kept the front door locked so I could never leave the house, not even to take out the trash. One day, I saw that Miss Harriet was really sad. Her eyes were swollen from crying. For the first time in months, she talked to me like I was a normal person. "Sit down," she said. So I did. It was the anniversary of her husband's death. She told me all about him just because she wanted to share it with someone. I was surprised that such an evil woman could love someone so much. She talked and cried and drank the whole time. Eventually, she got really drunk. I couldn't understand what she was saying anymore, but I still had to pretend I was listening. Finally, she passed out. I was about to go back to my room when I noticed a key. It was lying on the coffee table. Everything happened so quickly. I picked it up. Once I realized that it was the key to the front door, I unlocked the door and walked out without any hesitation. I went outside and started walking. I didn't stop until the sun started coming up. I was very tired. I came across a bench. Again, without even thinking, I laid down as if I just got to my own bed. I woke up to a woman standing by my feet. Her clothes were old and filthy. She had already taken off one of my shoes and was trying to get the other one. I tried pulling my foot away, but she had a tight grip on my shoe. Just then someone yelled, "Angela, leave the girl alone!" I looked to see who it was. It was a man dressed in rags. The two of them were obviously homeless. Walking towards us, he said, "What will she wear if you take her shoes? Look, she's sleeping on the streets like us." So the woman named Angela let go of me unwillingly. That's how I met Gary. It was my first time talking to a homeless person. He had been living on the streets for 9 years and had a very sad story. He lost his wife and two daughters in a train accident. After that, he was overwhelmed by grief and couldn't bring himself to do anything. He stopped going to work and stayed home all day in the dark. A while later, he lost his job and couldn't pay his rent, so he started living on the streets. He was such a good man and super funny. He made me laugh all the time. I started living with him on the streets. Once he heard my story, he wanted me to go back to the orphanage. But I told him that Miss Harriet would definitely come and take me from there. Reporting her would be useless. She was a judge. They'd believe her instead of a kid. So he said, "Okay, then you can stay with me for a while. We'll look for a better place for you later. Deal," I said, nodding my head. But I didn't want to leave him at all, because it was the first time that I felt safe and relaxed with an adult. Gary taught me the main rule of living on the street. If you're homeless, you need to look it. After all, we live on other people's charity. I could go to a bathroom and wash my face, but who would give money to a clean, well-dressed person? He was right. So I did as he said. I made my face and clothes look as dirty as possible. One lesson and I had the perfect homeless look. We had to beg in the streets before each meal. Once we had made enough money, we'd go ahead and buy something to eat right away. That's why we never had money for the next meal. One day, after we had enough money for breakfast, we went to a bakery. Business owners usually tried to get rid of us as quickly as possible, so we wouldn't bother the other customers. But the woman at the bakery was really nice. She smiled and said, "Good morning. It's your lucky day because everything is free for girls your age today." Gary said, "Thank you, but today we have money." "Is it possible that a girl her age can get some free stuff another time?" he asked, and was about to give her our change. Suddenly, we heard a noise behind us. We turned to see what happened and saw that an older customer had fallen. The woman took out her cell phone in a panic. The old man on the floor was not moving. Gary put his cup on the counter and kneeled next to the man. He touched the man's neck with his hand. He closed his eyes and started counting. Then he put his hands together and pressed on the man's chest. Just then, the bakery owner said, "Don't touch him! I called an ambulance. A doctor should be doing this." Gary told her, "I am a doctor. His pulse is around 20. We can't wait for an ambulance. We have to act now," and continued pressing his hands on the man's chest. That old man was so lucky that Gary was there. He never told me what his job had been, so I was surprised to find out that he was a doctor. In fact, he was a brain surgeon, but of course he knew what to do when someone was having a heart attack. Later, he told me more about his old life. One day he had to travel to another city to perform a surgery, but it was his birthday the next day. So his wife and kids decided to surprise him by taking the train to visit him. And you already know what happened after that. The owner of the bakery refused to let us pay. Gary insisted, but she said, "It's your lucky day. Everything is free for anyone who saves someone's life today." We ended up getting to know her that day. Her name is Sadie. I think she's as funny as Gary. She lives with her mom. "I'd invite you over for dinner, but my mom may not be ready to have two homeless people coming by," she said, and we all cracked up. The next day was a Sunday, and we made plans to have a picnic in a park. We had to beg in the streets longer than usual to buy all the stuff for the picnic. Guess what happened next? Gary and Sadie started falling for each other. One day, Sadie joked, "I decided to close the bakery and live with you on the streets because the only way I'll be able to tolerate your smell is if I start smelling like you." Gary said, "You know, that would be too much trouble. Instead of you smelling like us, we could start smelling like you. We just need a bath." That was a turning point in our lives. Of course, one bath wasn't enough, but it was a first step. Now we all live together. We have a lot of plans for the future, but the first one is for Gary and Sadie to get married. Then they're going to officially adopt me. After that, I'll be able to call them Mom and Dad. That's what they want. I already feel like saying it now, but I stopped myself. But I can tell you, they are my dear mom and dear dad, my lucky stars. My real mom would always pray, "May God bring good people into your life." That's exactly what happened. I hope the prayers someone says for you will come true one day too. Did you like my story? If you like stories based on real events, subscribe to this channel. Bye for now. Hi, everyone. I'm Fiona. My parents disowned me because of my YouTube channel. They said, "You're no longer our daughter, so you can't live in our house." They basically kind of kicked me out. How did it come to this? What did I do to make them so upset? I'll tell you the whole story. First of all, I have to say that my parents are super weird. I'm not exaggerating. Here are some examples of what they used to do. Our kitchen would close at 8 p.m. Literally closed, as if it were a store. At 8 o'clock, my dad would lock the door and take away the key. My mom would announce, "If anyone needs water, you have 5 minutes to get it," before he'd lock it. That happened every day, so I thought it was normal. One day, I was at a friend's house for a pajama party. Just before we went to bed, my friend said, "My mom left us milk and cookies. Let's go to the kitchen." I was so surprised and I naively asked, "Is your kitchen open so late?" I'm not into video games, so this other rule in our house was mainly for my brother, Craig. He wasn't allowed to play Pokemon games. You know why? Both of my parents are very religious. My dad read somewhere that Pokemon can evolve. As a religious man, he didn't believe in evolution. He thought that the evolution of Pokemon supported the theory of evolution, so my brother wasn't allowed to play Pokemon. And because of my mom's beliefs, we weren't allowed to watch Harry Potter films or read its books. Because according to her, the series promoted sorcery. Since sorcery is considered a sin, we had to stay away from Harry Potter films and books. Those are just two of the things we weren't allowed to do. Let me tell you about their ridiculous punishments, which really put their weirdness on display. One time, my brother forgot to flush the toilet after pooping. When my mom saw it, she called him over. "You are going to stand here and look at your poop," she said. She kept coming to check that he was really looking. My brother had to stare at his poop for 40 minutes. Finally, my mom yelled from the kitchen, "Flush it!" And he did. Later that day, poor Craig told me, "No matter where I look, I still see my poop." I laughed at the time, but looking back on it, I think it was pretty sad. Now here's one of my dad's weird punishments. Whenever I got a bad grade at school, he would make me call all our relatives and tell them what I got. He'd stand next to me the whole time. For example, he'd call my grandma and hand me the phone. First, I'd say which class it was and then the grade I got. He'd say, "Apologize to your grandmother for being a disgrace to the family." So I would apologize. This was more upsetting for my grandmother than for me. In addition to the weird ones, he also had some harsh punishments. Normal parents usually tell their kids, "You can't leave your room today." With us, it was, "You can't come down from the apple tree today." You heard it right. We had to climb a tree and stay there for hours as punishment. We had an apple tree in our backyard. That's the one we had to climb. For example, cursing would be punished with the tree. The amount of time we spent in the tree depended on the curse word. You know what the saddest part is? When you grow up in a home like this, you think this is normal. You think this kind of stuff happens in every home. When I was 13 or 14, I started learning more about my friends' families' lives, and I realized that ours was not normal at all. This awareness made things difficult for both me and my parents. I no longer accepted everything they said. So we'd fight all the time. They thought I was just acting out because I was now a teenager, but I kept telling them that they weren't normal and they needed therapy every chance I got. I felt like a volcano that was ready to erupt. There was no avoiding it. I had to get rid of the lava building up inside me, otherwise it was going to harm me. During that period, I realized that sharing was a sort of therapy for me. I felt better when I talked to my friends, but there were some things I couldn't tell them. I'd gone through such terrible things that I was worried they would judge me, even though none of it was my fault. The solution was right in front of me. I decided to create a YouTube channel. I wasn't going to show my face or tell anyone about it, including my brother. That way, I would be able to share everything anonymously. Where do you think I shot my first video? Sitting in the apple tree. I set up the phone's camera so it would only show the apples. I pressed record and started talking about this apple tree's role in my life. I let it all come out. It's weird, but I didn't cry at all. I just talked. Then I uploaded the 1.5 hour video to my YouTube channel, which I called The Girl in the Tree. That night, I felt completely relaxed and slept like a baby. The volcano inside me now had an outlet. After the first 10 days, the amount of views on my video started to go up. I remember the first comment very clearly. Did you really experience this, or are you just making things up? A few hours later, I got a second comment, which said, "Please show us your face." I continued uploading 2 videos per week. I got over 1,000 subscribers. The 7 videos I uploaded had a total of 9,000 views. As my emotional scars were being healed, something really unexpected happened. My brother accidentally came across my channel. He texted me right away, but I was on my way to a friend's house to work on a school project. So I didn't see my messages. Craig's dream was to be a YouTuber, and he thought that I made this channel to become one as well. He was so happy when he saw the number of views and subscribers. He was proud of me and immediately went to show our mom. When I came home, my parents were livid. Craig realized what he had done, but it was too late. My mom kept saying, "How dare you talk about our private lives online?" My dad said, "I didn't expect this from you. We've given you everything, and you stab us in the back." But the thing is, I hadn't exposed anyone. I had only told things from my perspective without saying anything bad about my mom or dad. I just described what happened, and since it was my experience, I had the right to talk about it. They sent me to my room. I heard them have a heated discussion. But I didn't want to know what they were saying, so I didn't listen. 3 hours went by. I was getting ready for bed when my mom called me. My dad said, "There is no way we can forgive you. We worked so hard to raise you, and this is what we get in return. No punishment would be enough for what you've done. So your mom and I have made a really tough decision. We are disowning you. We can't possibly call you our daughter after this." Disowning? I was completely shocked. I kept listening, but it was like I was living in a dream. I looked at my mom, who was in tears, looking down. I wanted her to say something, so I said, "Mom?" But she didn't look at me. She just shook her head. I knew how stubborn they are, and that arguing with them would be pointless. I've never seen my dad change his mind about anything. I didn't deserve this, but there was nothing I could do. I wanted to cry, but I stopped myself. I didn't want them to see me as weak. "So what happens now?" I asked. "Since you're disowning me, I guess you don't want me staying in this house anymore." Mm-hmm. My dad nodded. "We're giving you a week to find yourself a place to stay." I could understand their disappointment, but wasn't this reaction a bit over the top? Disowning and even throwing me out of the house? They had 2 children, but it looks like they were okay with losing one. Why was I surprised anyway? My parents' main issue was their inability to be compassionate towards us. I've already told you how they punished us for small stuff. I guess it was normal for them to overreact like this under the circumstances. Now that I was kicked out of the house, I had to find a place to stay. Being a high school student, I didn't have many options. Of course, I went to my grandmother. My parents probably knew that's what I would end up doing. Even though my dad is my grandmother's favorite son, she criticizes him all the time. When she found out what happened, she called him over. "Fiona is just a kid. How can you throw her out of the house? She will live with me from now on. And I am disowning you too. Throw Craig out as well. I'll take care of both of them." My dad listened without saying anything. Then he just left. I've been living with my grandmother for 5 months now. I wish they had kicked me out earlier because I feel so good here. Craig stays over a lot. He says that my mom cries all the time because she misses me. I'm not unforgiving like her. I'd go see her right away if she called, but I don't think I'll ever live in that house again. I was really sad about having to delete my channel, but then I stopped caring because it had served its purpose. It helped me share all that was building up inside of me, right? Thanks for listening to me. If you like stories based on real events, subscribe to this channel. Bye.